Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. This is Dave Cole, joined as always by our social media expert, Scott Winteroff. Hi, Scott.
Hello. Hello, Dave. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Sounds like Oh, you bet.
Pretty good. Back from a vacation, well-needed vacation, and ready to get back to the grind and talk marketing shop. How about that? Marketing real estate. So, Dave, tell us what we're going to learn about today.
I wanted to actually spend some time today talking about converting renters into buyers. It's something that, especially over the last few months, that from talking with agents around the country, whether they're clients or not, just hearing more concern about this. So just kind of wanted to bring it up to the masses, so to speak, that there's just more of a kind of more of a movement going on, and something that I think everybody, all of us in the business, need to be more aware of. So wanted to kind of get into that. There are some statistics, and I know I've posted a couple on my social media and some more articles showing that, especially with millennials, that they're focusing more on renting rather than home buying. And I think that there's kind of a need to, for all of us in the industry, to take a look at what's causing that. Where is that coming from? The renters, you know, versus owning, because obviously if they're into renting and it's something they want to continue with, that's a lot fewer people that would be buying and selling homes. So that's why I say this is certainly a concern for people in the industry. And so in looking at some possible reasons for that, one of the things that's come up is that I know I've, you know, just informally talking with renters and people that I know and getting some feedback from agents is that with the property values in some areas, and this is still a little bit of the fallout from a few years ago when the foreclosures and distressed properties especially were very harmful toward property values. And so some of the people are no longer seeing that there's an investment potential for buying a house. It used to be, and granted nothing's like it used to be 20 or 30 years ago, but you would buy a house, and as long as you reasonably maintained it, it would naturally go up in value, maybe 5%, 10%, maybe more, you know, over the course of the next 5 or 10 years, so that you knew you bought a house, it served its purpose for that stage of your life, and chances are you'd be able to make some money when you're done with it. And now, because property values are I guess, kind of more volatile than they used to be, that's not necessarily the case. And so the feeling is that people aren't necessarily seeing the investment potential along with buying a house. So they look at it that, okay, if they can't make much or any money selling it 5 years down the road, then why go through the hassle of home ownership and having to do all the repairs and being responsible for everything yourself when you can just pay your monthly fee and, you know, you have somebody else you call at 2 a.m. when the toilet overflows. So, I mean, that's something to look at. And wanted to talk about maybe some ways to kind of help with that situation today. So it's, and part of this too, Scott, I think, is that one of the things that you, as in you listening, the agents can do is maybe to be aware of this, maybe start posting even on social media, some articles, some things to that effect, and kind of a little bit of an education process to say, hey, if you're renting, you know, would you consider this? Or maybe some type of, you know, local article about somebody that did make a good deal when it was time for them to leave their house, that type of thing. So, Scott, maybe there's, you know, a couple things that agents should look for in terms of posting, you know, articles like that, that could just kind of plant that seed to people that are currently renting.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, it sort of falls into the testimonial category, which any client you have or any type of successful transaction, I highly recommend, you know, asking for a testimonial that you can use your, you know, sort of carte blanche, whether that's on social media, or whether that's on written materials. And most customers or most clients, you could say, are happy to do so if they have had a positive experience. And that's something you can use for social media. But, you know, the other thing with renting, it's just that it's just that the volatility in the market and stuff like that, and just people don't necessarily want to be tied down to one particular location for a long period of time either, you know, because I've always heard that it's at least 5 years or so. If you're not going to be in a home for at least 5 years, then it can sometimes be, maybe not the best investment to buy. But I think at this point, too, millennials are starting to settle down, and they're making that decision on where do they want to stay for more than 5 years to raise children, to do whatever. So yeah. But the other thing is that I think a lot of agents also do work with renters. It's maybe not ideal, but that way it's a shoe in the door and someone to shake hands with. And then just like you were saying, Dave, you can convert them into potentially buying if they find something that fits within their budget.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that, some agents maybe still aren't aware of this, you know, trend of thinking. And in fact, it's to the point where those of us that have been in the business for quite some time recall that, I don't want to say phase, but that's the best word to describe it, that era where condo conversions were the rage. And what we knew as apartments were becoming condos. People wanted to own the apartments, and now it's to the point where I know I could rattle off two or three people just in the Chicago area that are now working on condo deconversions, and that there's a little bit of a movement to do that. And as bizarre as it sounds, that's becoming a new trend, and this is part of why I wanted to do this as a topic today. That's something that again, if somebody, you know, wants to contact us, I could even put you in touch with somebody that does that. Not that you necessarily want to, obviously, look into doing this as someone in the industry, but just to get some input that this is actually happening. So this is why I wanted to kind of bring up the concern. Also, Airbnb. And I mean, we just say that to people in the industry, and the reaction will vary. If there's, you know, three people listening, one of them will go, uh-oh, and, you know, look for the stop button. One of them will go, tell me more, and the other will go, gee, I don't know much about it. And it's not that you need to brush up on it, but the point of Airbnb is that people are renting either homes that are vacant or even rooms within their existing home out. And so this has become a very successful business. In fact, I believe Airbnb, and this is not to be a promotional message, but they're considered as something like in the top three hoteliers in the country, and they don't even own a hotel because a lot of people are jumping on that bandwagon. And the point is, I've also heard that some investors that are buying multi-unit buildings are even doing things, depending on the location, of keeping a unit available for Airbnb, because they can, even if it's not rented for 30 days or 30 nights per month, they can make enough, even if it's rented 15 nights, to be able to cover more or the equivalent of renting it out on a regular basis. And so my point in bringing these up isn't to necessarily promote, you know, getting to know a condo deconversion specialist and someone that does Airbnb. My point is that these are two noticeable, and with Airbnb, serious trends in the industry, and they all deal with renting as opposed to owning. So that's the main purpose in even bringing this up and saying, hey, this is something that as an industry we need to deal with. And I think that there are some ways to at least consider in terms of dealing with that. And Scott, as you mentioned, handling rentals is something to consider. Generally, you could have an office with 20 agents, and you might have one of them that, oh yeah, you know, she handles rentals, she's new, and it's kind of pushed to the back burner. And to look at it long term, if you work with, as Scott, you know, as you just said, if you work with it, you know, in the long run, somebody that you rent to today for 6 months. Maybe they've just started a new job. There's been some kind of a family situation, something like that, that if you help them with the rental, gain their trust and know that it's for 6 months or 1 year, you now have 6 months or 1 year, or look at it this way, you've made your little bit of a commission on the rental, but now you have 6 months or 1 year or whatever that deadline is when the lease is up, and you have that chance to look at it like a deadline. Like, you know, you would know if you handled the rental what their monthly rental is, because that helps determine your commission. So if they're renting a place for $1,000 a month, and you know that on November 1st, that lease is going to be up, you as an agent now have until November 1st, or realistically till sometime in September, to say, you know what, for $1,000 a month, you could be owning and paying that and owning this house that has one more bedroom than you currently have, or whatever the advantage is. So it's kind of a mindset to get that to them. And if they say, you know, oh, but what about the down payment? What about all these other expenses? I know that some of the banks now, especially in the larger cities, are introducing some down payment assistance programs to help people to be able to qualify, where they can either do it as a grant or maybe make it more of a part of the loan, or you know, as a way to get people into these homes. So I think it's part of the mindset to look at, hey, when is your lease up, as a deadline to try to get them a better deal, maybe help with their down payment, and be able to show them that, hey, it may not cost you anything more to own than to rent. Then you have an asset. You have a possibility for a home equity line of credit. You have the tax advantages that go along with it, and be able to promote the other advantages of home ownership, as opposed to what we used to be able to say, hey, hang on to it for 5 years, keep it up, and you'll at least make a few thousand dollars and it'll be worth your while. Since you can't all necessarily say that or assure that anymore, it's the need to come up with these other avenues to do that. Also, and those of you, and chances are it's most people, you know somebody that's renting in a bigger apartment building where there maybe there are 20 or 50 or 100 units, to ask them, when's the last time, or have they gotten a postcard or mailers from local real estate agents to that point? You might be able to uncover a building in your farm area or somebody that you're working with where you might be able to kind of be the first to mine that building. Lease up in November, here's what we can do. You know, or have a pretty good idea what the rents are in that building. Maybe you can find something comparable and be able to, in effect, promote or offer that to people living in a specific apartment building just for that reason. So look into mailers. There are also some lenders, mortgage lenders, that will, because obviously they want to get the loan, that may partner with you. They may share the expense. It might be the loan officer's picture on one side of the postcard, your information on the other side, but both sides would be geared toward, hey, you know, for what you're, without saying it in these words, but for what you're paying right now in rent, here's what you could own, and go about it that way. So that's one strategy. It's also suggested maybe to sponsor some type of event, or it can't really be a home buyer seminar per se for renters, but maybe some type of event that would attract renters, or something at a restaurant, or some type of a greeting, or to maintain plants in your apartment, or something to deal with pet care if it's a pet friendly apartment building, and kind of get your name out there, be able to meet people that are renting. And instead of, you know, hey, now's the time to buy, be able to say, you know, for what you're paying in rent, there's a house a block away that has an additional bedroom or has these things, or just to kind of put yourself in the situation to plant that seed. When is your lease up? Let me see if I can get you something better where you would own the property and have these advantages. So again, sponsoring events, doing mailers, and the idea of, kind of planting that seed for that deadline. There's also handling more rentals, looking into that, thinking of it long term, that instead of thinking, hey, I'm only getting a few hundred dollars in commission versus a few thousand for selling the property, think of, you know, getting somebody to rent for 6 months or a year as that chance to have the in. You're the first one. You're going to help find them their property. And now you know their deadline. You know their living style, what they're, you know, what's involved with moving, where they're coming from. You get to know that person, and then you have 6 months or 1 year to be able to find them something. Keep reminding, keep on the case. And if you've listened to the earlier podcasts, you know you could have a plan. You could have your series of, whether it's email blasts, your social media posts, your direct mail for physical mail, for even hosting events where you have campaigns for somebody that whose lease is up in 3 months, somebody whose lease is up in 4 months, somebody where it's coming up to that time to where you get them to say, hey, you didn't sign a new lease yet, did you? Here's what you could have, and really be as more of a hands-on agent. If you've gotten them that rental and you've done that, you've got the in with those clients. They know you. They're less likely to go and interview and seek out another agent if they want to go move into a house, if and as you have kept up with them after you've done the rental. So these are things to think about. And again, just to kind of sum up, we're bringing this up. Had we brought this up 10 years ago, it would have been like, hey, here's a way to, you know, harvest some future clients, which it is. But right now, you look and you can do a search if you're not familiar and haven't heard about the impact of Airbnb, especially in the larger cities. Do a little bit of research on that. Ask some people. People go on vacations, and it's not just for that with Airbnb. And this is the concern. You would think it would be the any properties where it's near some type of attraction, near a business area where business people would travel, not necessarily. And so I just want to kind of harp on that point a little bit about the impact of Airbnb, especially in the larger cities. Somebody that I know actually has just with divorce and family moving on, has a four-bedroom house where he's basically by himself, but the house is paid for and he's not going anywhere. He's actually, he put up three, he can rent up to three bedrooms through Airbnb and does that. So he's had weekends or periods where one or two or even all three of his bedrooms are rented. He recently, and this is the point I want to make, this home is in a, it's just in a kind of a, you know, a neighborhood. It's not really necessarily near any major attraction where you'd say, oh, he's going to get people that come in for, to visit this corporation or to go to the zoo or to go to whatever attraction. It's just kind of the typical neighborhood in the city. And he was able to, a few months back, had a 3 month rental of a group that came in from an overseas country to basically kind of start or partner in a business in that area. So they needed kind of a what would be considered a long term. It was like 3 or 4 months, and it was people that were not related, so they wouldn't share a bedroom. And so it was a group that was able to rent all three bedrooms of his place for, it was either 3 or 4 months continuously, and they even wound up really all getting along. They're cooking meals for the guy, he's doing stuff for them, and this is what happened. So this group couldn't get this kind of service and attention with a hotel that they had the freedom to come and go, and here he was now, his mortgage is just about paid off, and this helped him to do that. So it became a profit center for him. So this is the thing with Airbnb that people can do. And also, if they're able to rent their rooms, it keeps them from possibly moving or downsizing like this guy could have done. So I bring that up just to show that there are some valid concerns about the ability to, you know, now this guy's not likely to sell his house because he's renting it out. And if he can rent it out long term, that's somebody that may not have had to buy a property in that area. So this is why I want to bring this up, that I am seeing these as being some valid concerns, something you have to deal with, and that it's time to kind of an educational campaign, so to speak, for renters and show them that there are still advantages to home ownership. And since there isn't a, you know, a group campaign, a national effort, we're not really seeing this yet. I think it's time for you as individuals, and especially, of course, you know, our clients, but everybody else that gets the chance to listen to this, to be aware and take your area. And it's a way that, you know, by listening to this podcast and following through, here's a way that you can kind of take control and, yes, harvest, and a way to get some clients. So it's, you know, the there's no inventory challenge is likely to increase based on these findings and these surveys. And we could even post, I know I've posted some articles on my social media, those of you that follow, that, you know, articles about this and millennials saying they're less likely to buy and things like that. So this is something that's coming and something for, you know, people to be aware of and, you know, see what we can do to point out some of the advantages. So, Scott, anything else that you wanted to add as far as, again, being able to post and spread the word?
Yeah, I think that just a sort of a final wrap-up thought, you know, the key is that if you work with a renter or work with any client, per se, and then you're able to sort of build that rapport and build that relationship with them to enough to be able to become friends on Facebook, then, or any other, any social platform, per se, the one that they use the most, then you can see, you know, okay, well, they're getting married or they're having a baby or they're have a new job or whatever. And that way, that's an opportunity for you as your, as their agent to reach out to them and see if they could help them there during their various stages of their life. At a very, you know, at a very simple level, that is one way to look at converting renters into buyers. You know, just being, oh, hey, you got a baby? Okay, well, let's look at houses, kind of thing. So yeah, that's my exactly. Social media input into that, if you will. So yeah, Dave, great topic. Anything else?
No, that's really it for today. We wanted to spread the word, and actually, as you're listening, welcome to send us some feedback and questions, because I could see us spending some more time on a variation of this topic in some of the upcoming podcasts. I think that there's the need to kind of be able to come up with some more campaign strategies, and sometimes it's, you know, asking the audience, but appreciate everybody's time, and that would do it for this edition.
All right, Dave, that sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play, or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.